This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, Imports Domestics Microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, Wine Coolers Water Soft Drink Snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. My two favorites. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket. It is Tuesday. Thus time now for Tuesdays with Neil. Sir, welcome.
As always, it is my absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right. Cam Sutton, 8 games, the suspension on this, which I still maintain to this day, if they'd done that with Ray Rice originally, and you know, because they knew what the video looked like. This one didn't have video. What was your thought on how the NFL handled it?
Stealthily.
Yes, stealth.
Perhaps a bit with a bit more savvy.
Yes.
Then probably a good idea to do it around a holiday weekend. You know, it's had kind of a somewhat of a news dump feel to it, but not to make light of the situation. I mean, he's in a good amount of trouble. I would guess there's something there to suggest it's not as severe as it's going to be made out to be, at least in the eyes of the law, not the public. But 8 games, that's definitely on the higher end of the spectrum for what they would do. And obviously the Steelers knew this was going to happen. And at that point, I mean, it's from a transactional standpoint, it's bargain shopping. You get 8 games at the end of the year, plus, you know, maybe the playoffs of a good, experienced NFL corner who knows what you're doing defensively at half the price of the minimum contract. So you see from their perspective why they did it, knowing the suspension was coming. From the league's perspective, they probably pushed for that, if not more, just considering the pretty extreme nature of what he's accused of. Usually my thought is it's the least they can do, and it kind of is in that sense. But a messy potential situation that I think generated a lot more negative attention toward the NFL than it has in the past. And you brought up the classic example of it, their inability to get ahead of the Ray Rice situation. And I'd be remiss if you didn't point out Baltimore's involvement in that. The way they handled that was a lesson in what not to do moving forward. And I think the NFL, as well as the Lions, saw the potential issues that are going to come from this. And from that point, if they can't bar Sutton from playing exactly without creating an even bigger problem for themselves. If that's the case, though, then yeah, I mean, maybe Pittsburgh is the right place to kind of, you know, let him serve that suspension in an effort to move past it from their perspective as quickly as they can. You know, some people will say that that's, you know, not the right way to go about it. Well, the NFL isn't a federal court. You know, it's not their job to do that. Whatever additional punishment that Sutton's going to get, we'll find out. Maybe that's not the end of suspensions or time away or anything like that that he'll have to serve. But for now, it's, you know, the punishment, I think that I probably would have bet that that's what he would get, but I still feel like it's probably not enough needing to send a stronger message. The fact that, you know, he did what he did is, you know, alleged to have done is you know, horrific in and of itself. The fact that he then evaded police for 3 weeks, I really think is, that's a problem for me. I get the value that he poses to the Steelers, but I feel like you can probably find another cornerback somewhere. That's just my opinion.
So that brings up the next part. Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin are smart people, so they knew in some form, they didn't know what length it would be in terms of the suspension, but they knew in some form they wouldn't have him initially. So where do they look? Say it plays out to be 8 games, right? That's what it plays out to be. So they have to go through the first half of the season without him. So where do you see the Steelers compensating for him not being there for the first 2 months of the season?
Well, oddly enough, I think you go back to the Kevin Colbert playbook. They love the pre-free agency, somewhat veteran cornerback, you know, with some experience but still cheap. And I'll be honest, I watch a lot of football. I read a lot of football. I study it probably more than what is healthy. They usually find a guy you've never heard of before. To come in and play snaps for him. The success rate of that strategy aside, that's just typically what they do. I mean, you know, going back to the Brandon Boykin trade, Bryce McCain was a good player they brought in. I know everybody absolutely hated Antoine Blake, but considering the price that they paid for him, they got a lot of good run out of him. Mike Hilton's done a phenomenal job. The Steelers resurrected his career. There are a lot of defensive backs that get washed out one place or another. It's a really hard position to play. There are veterans on, who would be on very affordable terms who are going to be available. This is right now, just isn't a great time for signings. And to your point, yes, they absolutely knew a suspension was coming. It was a question of how long. I think it's just more like we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. We have our eyes on these guys. Maybe it's this guy who's coming off surgery. We just want to be able to get a check on it, you know, a little closer to the day. They'll make a move. You know, defensive back is probably the most active position during training camp to replace that and running back. There are guys that come in and out at those positions all the time. And certainly in the NFL, we've seen success. Obviously, a lot of failure as well. But we've seen success all over the spectrum of transactions in the NFL. Top five draft picks, seventh round draft picks, undrafted veterans that did nothing with two teams that, you know, picked on somewhere else because of a schematic advantage they might have, things like that. You know, they have their eyes on the people that they want. I think even before Cam Sutton, the idea was they need to add somebody, you know, to at least provide some depth. At cornerback in particular, maybe, you know, a multifaceted defensive back. I did not think they would get through training camp just with their depth chart going into it. They were planning on adding somebody. Maybe they add somebody after cuts. They're always open to those kinds of things. I think that's the path they'll go down now and try to figure it out. Get used to the idea that Sutton's not going to be there, but he's somebody that they want to play significant snaps late in the season, and now they have, you know, a sense of how exactly long that's going to be, and a more clearer picture of what their options are.
I think we've established over time that, you know, you extensively cover the Steelers in the NFL, but you do it from Minnesota. Kyrie Jackson, the fourth round pick of the Vikings, was killed in a car crash in Maryland over the weekend that also took the life of former Penn State defensive back A.J. Litton. He was in the car with him. Jackson had gone to Alabama. He'd gone to Oregon. He ended up being a fourth-round pick. A.J. had been at Florida State, then transferred here, and did a lot of work, especially on special teams in a corner here. What has the depth of just the sorrow in Minnesota over what happened to him? And for the Vikings, that was a guy, you don't get drafted in the fourth round unless they have some plans for you somewhere. And what does that do to their plans once they overcome the intense grief?
You know, you brought up Cam Sutton. That's the first thing I thought of, because a well-respected scout that I know within the league associated with the Vikings. I remember what he told me, what he thought of Jackson was he thought he could be a Cam Sutton type. It was obviously a tragedy. You know, the whole thing is just it's gut wrenching. Anybody you talk to about Kyrie Jackson, A plus character kid.
Yes,
everybody liked him. Everybody gravitated toward him. You could see why he had the success that he had, not just because you know he's obviously an excellent athlete, a very strong technical defensive back, but he's just one of those people that finds a way to do what he needs to do to be successful. And it's such a great attitude. I know inside the locker room, the coaching staff, the front office are gutted. They loved him.
Yeah.
I would agree. And it's interesting because you know people will say, well, how big of a deal could it be if he was a fourth round pick? You don't understand. They're not drafting, you know, 1 through 245 or whatever
That's right.
Ability. It's not like number 9 is automatically better than number 13.
Right.
That's not how they divide it up. If you're a fourth round guy, there are reasons that might not be necessarily skill related. Not the best athlete, not the biggest cornerback who's out there. He probably fits the mold of a third, fourth round defensive back in the NFL. They saw him as being a very effective slot corner. Now, for whatever reason, it doesn't seem teams put a high level of value on a slot cornerback nowadays. They felt he was a player. He would have gotten a lot of snaps this season. They were going to count on him for a lot of things. They wanted to see how he looked in camp and you know move him along with what they saw in the defense. But he was going to be a guy who played a lot for him. They were going to ask him to do a lot of things, and they felt he could take it. He just needed to you know work his way into the NFL. They were going to give him some time and some room to do that. But they're gutted. You know it's a tremendous loss for a variety of reasons. Lower on the list is the impact that he would have had on the Vikings on the field. Mm-hmm. But to see, you know, 3 lives lost in such a situation, it's heartbreaking, really. It's hard for teams to recover from that, you know. And I you can see the Andrea Kramer story on ESPN coming up with Kevin O'Connell about how the Vikings managed to handle that and deal with that. Football players are not at their best on the field when they feel their own mortality, and mm-hmm. situations like this bring that out. You know, it's sobering. It's a really hard thing for really any team to overcome. But if they're going to, and they're going to rally around that kind of thing, mm-hmm. It's up to your locker room. It's your leadership,
yeah.
And O'Connell has to spearhead that. He's a great leader. The team believes a lot in him. They have a lot to do, though. That's just a really tough thing to happen. You hate to see it. It just seems like something, you know, a lot of negativity in the NFL in July. A lot of bad things have happened in the NFL in July.
Yeah.
Of recent memory, that's the worst in my mind. A lot of people I've talked to had held him in really high regard. And some of them have had conversations with me about him prior to that. I didn't know who he was until the Vikings drafted him.
Right.
A lot of people really saw good things for him in the future. Great story that just didn't get to end the way that it should have.
Right, and by the way, it's the other driver that's at fault in all this, so if anybody's wondering. And there's the other part, too, about where he's drafted. You can be the 5th-rated tight end in the entire draft, and 27 teams don't need tight ends. So you end up in the 4th or 5th round. So, I mean, it's just, it doesn't go the, hey, he's the 200th pick. Well, you're not the 200th best player. You're just the 200th pick because that's just the way it fell. You know,
exactly.
Tom Brady will do the 199 ship all he wants. It's adorable, but you know, like the bottom line is, you got into the league and made it work
where he should have been drafted.
Right. Well, he got into the league and he made it work.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty well. I checked.
You got to continue to improve, and the idea is more they put a lot of value in teams. Their philosophy of where they draft players and why is far more complex than people think that it is. They have very strict definitions for what a fourth round pick would be for them, and most of the time, really the difference between a fourth and put it in the third. I know this for sure. The difference between a first and a third oftentimes comes down to an inch. This guy's a little bit bigger, therefore he is in a rarer class of athlete. Yeah. He's harder to find. If he doesn't have that, there are more like him in the third round. We would draft him there. We wouldn't draft him in the first round. I think Jackson fits a lot of that, and that's why I was floored with the news of Cam Sutton coming right after it, because Cam Sutton was a great example of that. This is a guy that can play inside or outside coming out. Not an elite athlete, didn't have elite size, but nobody said he was not going to be at least a solid pro. And he got a pretty nice extension that he'd be playing on right now if not for his own mistakes. So, the difference between that initial huge first-round check and the security that comes with it is not really that big. They're solid players. Jackson played at Alabama. Then he played at Oregon.
Yes,
it's not like he went down to Division III or anything.
Right.
He had success. He had another opportunity elsewhere, and he got himself into the league. And that's after a point in time. He came from community college. He wasn't really sure if he wanted to keep playing. Something changed in his life, and he put that forward. That's the kind of guy to bet on. That's why the story is just so horrible.
Yeah.
This would have been a great story. This would have been somebody you want to root for. In life, remember, I've heard about all three of them that were in the car. They were going to a good place. And as you said, to repeat it again, it was the people who died. It was not their fault. To put it mildly, that's all I'll say. Just a truly tragic situation.
Yeah, exactly. Off next week. I mean, I know you're shocked. I'll take a vacation. I kind of log some innings here. When a training camp starts, what are you looking for? I mean, I know the stories change from year to year, but is there basic things that you at least look for to see whether it's true or not when a camp begins?
I think a lot of it is the stuff that can't be reported formally. It's who's playing where. I get that people are going to look for what team he's running with. I mean, you have a certain core group of guys that are going to be out there, and that's going to be your starting lineup. You know that, but what combinations are they putting in? I mean, a lot of this too is indoctrination from covering the Steelers for this long. You don't know what group of offensive linemen they're going to use. They rotate around a lot, and it's not just about the current season. It's about the future. You look at McCormick, the guard that the Steelers drafted, third round of this past year. I see him, to connect this with what I said earlier, I see a guy with easy top 50 skills. He just displayed those against FCS competition, so that's something that's going to put him down to the third round. He's an NFL starter, and he's probably a starter by next year. For the Steelers, the question is right guard or left guard. Where are they going to put him? Where do they see him? On day one, if he's at right guard, that does not mean he's permanently a right guard. Where would he end up? Because he's probably not going to be a starter this year either. So the question comes down to how they would use him. What do they want to do with him exactly? What's the rotation at center like? I don't think that Zach Frazier necessarily has much competition, but they're not just going to hand it to the rookie on day one either. Not when he was taken in the second round. Maurkice Pouncey was one of the best center prospects seen in the last 15 years. He didn't have the job on day one. Let him work into it. What are you hearing about how they're moving? What's the buzz like? What's the chatter like? Those things matter in camp.
Yes.
It's about leadership. It's about the tone that's being set. the kinds of things that they're doing, then of course, obviously, there's injuries. You know, you start to hear about this guy had surgery in the off season. He's not available right away. You know, you want to follow that kind of thing, but you know, a lot of it too then just kind of comes down to how successful is this unit or that unit. A lot of things to come into it. I guess I wouldn't say I focus on any particular thing except for the grouping of the offensive line, just to get a sense of where they want to see somebody. It doesn't mean that anything is set in stone immediately, especially when you have younger players like they now do on the offensive line. I didn't even bring up the tackles. You know, what are they going to do with the tackles? They've drafted a lot of offensive linemen lately. What combinations could they use with the younger guys in concert with the veterans that they have on extensions? You know, a lot of different things to do, and I think that's the future foundation of the team. And that's, you know, that's the easiest thing I'll say the entire day, considering how much capital they've put into it. So what they want to do with that, how they're doing it, and with the new offensive coordinator, I mean, you're not going to, you know, necessarily get a whole lot of schematic stuff until, you know, you get deeper into camp and really start to see them add on to the playbook, and then preseason games, what they show a little bit of to break down a little bit of how they want to you know, approach their opponents on offense. I'm looking forward to seeing that. That's the kind of stuff that I would look at overall. But you know, at the end of the day, too, it's about, can guys throw? Can they run? Can they catch? Can they block? Can they tackle? You know, what are we seeing to give us a sense that they're capable of doing that? That they're ready to do that? What type of shape are they in? How do they look versus last season? A lot of compare and contrast, I guess, to the level that that's important. I don't know, but I know I love it. I love August. Yeah. I love training camp, and I'm looking forward to it coming up here pretty quick.
You did, in the course of the answer, use the expression set in stone. That's you every Tuesday. So,
you bet.
Except for next week.
Which is right. Weird. I'm trying to remember the last time you took a week off.
So am I. But just for a couple, I've had one 3-day weekend since Christmas, and 2 3-day weekends, including Christmas, in the past year.
Yeah, you definitely need the Tuesday off then. take like a 12-day weekend. Those are fun.
Yeah. My friend, thanks so much. We'll talk in a couple of weeks, all right?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, I need more time off. I think Todd needs time off, too.
I will never argue.
Oh, I can tell. Right.
I'm more suit than you, buddy.
He leads the league in time off. Jeez.
He's off next week, too.
Is he really?
Yes, he is.
Geez, I could have argued about that the last 51 weeks. All right. Start asking yourself, is it worth it? All right. Half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Well, next half hour, guess who? Giancarlo Stanton's agent, DJ LeMahieu's agent, Paul George's agent.
Party time, game. Just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The beverage supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.